Welcome back to the show. Second hour rolling on this Thursday. The Greeley Stampede started today, by the way. That's pretty cool. Oh, my goodness. Susan and Cheryl, excited about that. I'm going to give some PRCA Extreme Bulls tickets for tonight. Yeah, dude. It's like the bull. Is that the bull riding? That's the bull riding and stuff, I think. Yeah, this is going to be a blast. That's, to me, that's like the hot ticket. I mean, the concerts are always great, but the extreme bull riding. So I've got four of them. I'll probably give them away in pairs today. So we're going to give that away a little bit later on. Thanks to Quality Well and Pump for being our official ticket sponsor and allowing us to hook up a lot of listeners to get out to the Stampede. I saw downtown Greeley on a video. We were stuck in here, Colfax, inside the wonderful Auto Collision Specialist Studios. They were parading the Longhorns downtown. They were walking them, like driving them around. Well, I guess they take them all the way to the park, but that's pretty cool. But we're in here, Colfax. We're not allowed to go outside. Eh. They frown on that. They frown upon. You wouldn't like to see the Longhorns?
No, I would love to see the Longhorns. I'm
you like being
I'm
here
mad,
too.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
maying at the being stuck in here. It's really cold in here too. I'm not gonna lie.
It's this building. Half of it's cool. Half of it's warm. I don't understand it. It's a crazy thing, man. I want to give a shout out. I'm heading in the morning before our remote. We're gonna be at Rule 105 tomorrow for the grand opening at noon. I am so pumped for this. But it's a brewery, so hopefully I can make it through a 2-hour show. Wow. Yeah, you think so? I'm heading down to Denver, Jeffco. My niece. It's hard for me to believe this. She's a junior in high school. Made it to state track. So she's in the 4x1, and I'm excited. I made it in the 4x1 when I was a freshman. Did it 400 when I was a junior. So track's a big deal for us. We got a lot of tracksters in the family. So congratulations to my wonderful niece, Mitchick. Her name is Mitchick, and she's a wonderful young lady. I was just thinking about, I was a senior in high school, Colfax. I did 4-H and FFA and all that stuff. I had a steer. I was a farm kid, right? I had a steer. I was at fair. My sister had come down from Leadville. They live in the mountains. They're mountain folk now. And she brought my little niece, little baby at that time, just this bright, beautiful blue eyes. She's got her little bonnet on. And I held her for the first time, and it was really cool. I was thinking about that today, and I'm like, now I'm going to go see her as a junior go run some track. Wow. At State High School. It's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool. Kind of emotional, though. Like, I didn't think it would hit me. I'm the uncle. I'm the goofy uncle. I'm not too touchy-feely or anything like that, but I'm thinking about it, and it's like, wow. I remember her just being a little tyke. And her sister, Ripley, they made it to state soccer, I believe, and they lost by one goal last Saturday. Here's the conundrum, Colfax, if you have two kids. They both, so Mitchick had her regional track meet at 11 in a different place, and Ripley's soccer game started at like 11:30. Mm. So the decision, who do you love more? That's who it comes down. Well, I told my sister, I was like, well, one's a freshman, one's a junior. You go to the juniors thing because she's only got so much left. The other one, it's going to be for 2 years at least, it's her for sure, 100%. So, but they ended up splitting it out. A couple family members went to Ripley's soccer game and a couple family members went to Mitchick Steel. So, yeah.
Just don't go to either.
just don't show. You know what? I'm not going to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm going to sleep in. But I'm pumped. It's at 9 o'clock tomorrow, so I'm heading down there bright and early. I love track, man. I hope my kid runs around like crazy, so I hope he's a trackster because I love the idea of going out on a Saturday all day and watching different events. Like I love that stuff. I did it in high school. It was fun.
Well, it's certainly better than running the events.
Yeah.
At this age.
Oh, true. I told you my story of how I got roped into doing the 400. Like the 400 is just a lap, right?
Yeah, one lap.
But it's a sprint. So it's not like take your time. It's a sprint around. So it's tough. It's a tough race. I was always a 100-meter dash guy, a 200-meter dash guy, 4x1, 4x2, all the time. I was fast in my freshman year, and then I just didn't get much faster as far as that really fast, quick speed that you needed. So we had the 4x4 relay, and you know, the day was almost over. we had a guy that got a stomach ache or something last second, who knows, couldn't participate in the relay, so they had to scratch him and they needed somebody else. And I, of course, being the smart person that I am, I was like, I'll do it, sure. Not realizing that, you know, halfway through that, anyway, I ran it okay. I was good. I actually beat everybody on the relay's time. And so my coach came to me and said, you're running the 400 from now on, so get ready. And I hated that race with every fiber of my being. Broke the school record, though.
Whoa.
Won regionals and went to state.
Wow.
And, you know, I hated it. Every race. Hated it to death. But, you know, that was one of my more... I played football and basketball, did that stuff too, but that was my most, like, consistent successful thing was doing the worst. I loved playing basketball and football, and I was okay at it. Hated doing the 400-meter dash. But I was good at it. And, man, it sucked. It was terrible. What a terrible race. Never want to do it again. I tried to run it a few years after I graduated.
What was your time?
It was like, gosh, I think it was... I want to say 51. I think it was 51. I think if you look up the Olympics and stuff, yeah, it's going to be like 41 and stuff. So I'm 10 seconds slower than fastest people in the world. Well, then anyway,
yeah.
But I think that's what it was. And last I checked, nobody's breaking that record. And I said I just wanted to stand for 10 years. That's all I care about. I just wanted to stand for 10.
You got it. Nice.
You came up with that pretty fast, but yes, I did. 10 years. 20.
Well, I've been out for like 12 years or whatever.
Oh, my gosh. It's crazy to think about it, man. It's crazy. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. We're going to have Chris Dempsey join us. Start busting into the Denver Nuggets. And, I mean, it's an interesting offseason. I broke it down to four. Again, my deep thoughts from Wandering Mind available at thewholeshow.com. I kind of broke it down to four. Big items that this team needs to be looking at. So we're going to get into that. Kind of wanted to take some time just peeking at this stage at what the Broncos do as far as their 53-man roster. I mean, are they going to care? I was thinking about this the other day. I know it's all about Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. Are they going to carry a third quarterback? Because a lot of times you see teams just carry two quarterbacks. And I was reading the Denver Post the other day, and it was Kisla put in there that he thinks that they're just going to go with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, and Brett Rippon will not make the team, the former Boise State Bronco. So it's funny, though, because Kisla wrote this in his analysis. No drama here. A potentially big question is who serves as Aaron Rodgers' backup if he is acquired from Green Bay. He says, our guess is Lock. Lock would also be our choice to start in week one against the Giants. So, if Aaron Rodgers, if that still happens, which, again, you've heard it here, it's not happening. If it happens, is Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater, which one of them is, are they on the team still? Are they a third? Do you carry three quarterbacks? Then you have to, right? You're not going to go through all of camp with this decision of Drew Lock, Bridgewater, and then suddenly Packers finally, you know, release the news that they're going to trade Rodgers, and then the Broncos go get him. And then we had this four-week competition of Drew Lock, Bridgewater, and then Rodgers gets here. And then they're like, well, what the hell was that all about then? Did you ever see the movie Gangs of New York?
Yeah.
It's like my favorite movie of all time. You know, they're fighting. The gangs are fighting, and it's like the most important thing in the world. But then there's the civil wars going on right around that time, and the end of the movie, they're like getting ready to fight. It's epic. The two main characters are getting ready to fight, but then there's the bombs blowing, a cannons going because the war finally caught up to New York, and it's there, and it ends kind of like that. And it's like, oh, so this entire four-hour movie that I just watched about these gangs fighting each other and hating each other and rivalries doesn't really mean anything because the war's coming. Right? So that's kind of how Aaron Rodgers is the war. These two guys, Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, they're fighting this meaningful little training camp battle. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers is getting ready to come to town, and it's going to be like, well, we wasted 3 weeks of show talking about this battle. I don't think it's happening, though. So,
well, then we'll just have the interesting debate about who will be the backup.
Yeah, right.
Because that'll be excellent.
Who would be the backup, though?
Bridgewater. I don't know. That's why it's so interesting.
Well, I'm just trying to think. What's the upside? Okay. I've said this. I'm going Drew Lock as the starter. That's more or less to finally put it to bed. He either is the guy, could be the guy, or isn't the guy. And we need that answered this year. And I wouldn't you feel weird if Bridgewater starts and then we never really know what could have happened with Drew Lock?
Yeah, that wouldn't make much sense.
No, he's still so young. I mean, to me, the writing's on the wall. I know they're talking about this being such a tight race. It's going to be Drew Lock, the starting quarterback. There's upside there. Bridgewater, there's no real upside. You already know what you got. He is not a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. Could you get there with an amazing defense? Maybe. You need to have a run game that's awesome and receivers that just make it look so easy for Bridgewater. But you need to have a quarterback. Again, the Broncos are not a Super Bowl contender this year. They are maybe a playoff team at best. So we're not even there. But the question will be, what is Teddy Bridgewater after this year? What are we doing with him? Because he's not going to be he's not the five-year plan. So again, it's easier for me to say Drew Lock is the starter, but if Aaron Rodgers comes to Denver, doesn't that mean the Drew Lock time is over? Because you've got 2 to 3 to 4 years, maybe 5 with Rodgers. By then, Locke's entering his third year already. So by the time Rodgers retires, you'd be talking about, you know, Locke's in his 6th or 7th year. He's not going to re-sign with you.
Yeah. And so, you would want a steady Eddie Bridgewater as your backup.
Right. So you'd go there.
Because you wouldn't want to be taking chances on your backup.
No. You'd go steady Eddie. You're exactly right. So it's weird. I think Drew Locke's the starter, but if Rodgers comes to town, it makes more sense to have Bridgewater as your backup because Drew Lock's no longer in the plans. That's the change. Bridgewater is here for the year. You know, he's a quarterback for rent. Lock, you are still thinking you could invest, or if Rodgers comes along, then you're done.
Straight trade.
straight up. Well, the Packers did want Drew Lock. Remember that. They did work him out. They wanted him. He didn't fall to him where they wanted him, but they liked him. I don't know, after seeing last year, if they still feel the same way. 17 minutes after the hour, I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, let's talk to Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. It's been over a week now, and we finally wiped our tears away. But what's next? What do the Nuggets need to do to pick up the pieces? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Colfax, right now, should I give these away? I got a pair of tickets. PRCA Extreme Bulls tonight, 7 o'clock at the Greeley Stampede. I'm going to go caller number 4 on the First Advantage Hotline, 970-353-1310. Caller number 4, you're going to go see some extreme bull riding, man. That's going to be a blast. We'll be right back.
It's a party, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris is our Nuggets insider. Chris, my man, we've had a week and a half to kind of get over things. It was a rough go for sure, but is it making you feel any better seeing the Suns? I mean, the Suns are just doing some amazing things without Chris Paul.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was, if it wasn't, you know, it's interesting about their ride because obviously they haven't played a team that's been healthy, but it's also obvious that they are playing their best basketball at the exact right time of the season. And, you know, the way they're able to operate offensively and have answers for whatever the defense presents them is it's really impressive. It really is. And we've already seen the LA Clippers try a couple of different philosophies defensively. One, going small and seeing if they can kind of pull Ayton away from the basket and put him a lot of action. And then the other, when that didn't happen and when he was just feasted in the first game, as a matter of fact, they made that change at halftime to put Zubac back into the starting lineups. and it didn't matter. So, it is impressive. It is impressive, and they were really good, and they haven't even played one game of this series with Chris Paul yet, and that's going to change here in short order. So, they are legit.
Yeah, no question about it. Looking at this this Nuggets roster now, you know, with a week and a half, kind of settle down, start looking at what's next for Denver. And in listening to the press conference that you were a part of course, with Tim Connelly, Chris, I got to tell you, the theme for me stood out. I didn't get the sense that the Nuggets are going to be too aggressive this offseason, even with Jamal Murray's injury, and we don't really know when he's going to start. Is that the sense you got, that we're not making huge moves? We're going to make a couple of moves that tweak the roster, but nothing major.
Yeah, because, one, they know financially what is coming down the road. And then, part two, if you have a structure that you want to quickly get back into place, then you're not going to make major adjustments right now, because one of the major pieces is not with you, and it's Jamal Murray. And so if you are looking at your basketball team from the standpoint of, well, two things. One, when Jamal was playing and they had traded for Aaron Gordon, I mean, there was a period of time where you looked at this basketball team, a great many people looked at that basketball team and said, whoa, that's a legit contending basketball team right there. So if you are the president of basketball operations, Tim Connelly, and you believe that as well, then maybe what you do is you understand that you have to maybe upgrade the shooting a little bit better, but you're not going to do anything drastic, because eventually you're going to get Jamal Murray back. I think what you've proven, or at least what Nikola showed you without Jamal Murray, is that not only can you stay afloat without Jamal Murray, that maybe if things go well around Nikola Jokic, you can still be one of the better teams in the Western Conference even without Jamal Murray as you look at the time. So, I think what they saw in the regular season without Jamal Murray probably is giving them a lot of confidence that they can buy time without making major moves until he comes back. And then once he comes back, you can see how he's playing and how it all fits together, and then make maybe bigger decisions from there.
What do you think, too? And again, I know this has quite a bit of impact on the Nuggets. Will Will Barton pick up that player option? And if he doesn't, that doesn't necessarily mean he's not going to be a Nugget for the next few years.
Right, exactly. So, and I would expect if this goes the way I think it goes, I would expect that he would opt out of the final year of his contract and then look to sign a multi-year deal. I mean, talking about a player that...
I think we lost Chris. We'll see if we can get a better connection. And when I say that, it's just hang up and call him again. I always get this like image of people, Colfax, connecting cords. Let's get a better connection. Nope, just hang up, call him right back. So we'll see if we can get him on. He was talking about Will Barton, thinking that, yeah, he will probably drop or, not take that, pick up that player option, and ultimately maybe sign a long-term deal with Denver. Does he? In a perfect world, I would hope he'd pick it up, and then you really get to see, because he's had some injuries too. So, yeah, it doesn't sound like we're going to get Chris, huh? He must be in a canyon of some sort, maybe. So, unfortunately, if he calls back, we'll see. But I wanted to get his thoughts, and we will at some point, of what that would look like with Barton. And does he like Denver enough to stay here? I mean, potentially this team could win a championship. Did that window feel like it closed a little bit because Jamal Murray is out, or is going to be out for a while? I mean, that's interesting. So definitely want to get his thoughts there. Want to talk to him about Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon's going to have an interesting year. You know, he's on a contract year. Michael Porter Jr., what's next for him? He's going to be at a point where he can get a big contract as well. So now, I don't think we're going to get Chris. But breaking this down, and you'll get more details in my Deep Thoughts from a Wandering Mind, again, available at the whole show. Breaking this down, You know what? He's going to be done driving pretty soon. We could get him in a spot where he can park. Maybe we'll get him coming back. We'll grind out our Thursday night special, and then we'll see. 29 minutes after the hour, Colfax, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Thursday.
It sounds like somebody tried to rip your song off underneath there. Some dude's like saying... Saturday?
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. Thursday's the night.
Thursday's the night. That's where miracles happen. It's the greatest. I mean, it's Stampede night. I mean, this is a special Thursday night. People go, I'm known around Northern Colorado and the world as Mr. Thursday Night for a reason. I'm 2-1 in June. I'm looking to go 3-1 as we wrap up this month. Feeling good, man. Feeling good about tonight. Definitely going basketball. No doubt about it. The Suns are up 2-0. Going up against the Clippers. Now, it is in L.A. Phoenix, however, they are a one-point favorite. And I'm wondering if Phoenix is going to sweep this thing. But if they don't, this might be the one. The Suns are winning this series. But this is usually the one, I think... That might be a little bit easier. You're getting at home. You're getting your first opportunity at home. You got your home cooking there. But Chris Paul is cleared for tonight. And because of that, I'm going Phoenix.
Hold on to your butts.
Good morning.
Good morning. We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Oh, because the
good
sun.
Good morning the sun. To you.
Eight over Jokic.
Good morning.
Oh.
Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning.
Sun.
Here we go. Big one shot at 10. Sails in for two for Paul.
OJ, purple stuff, and two kinds of Sunny D.
Surprise!
Oh, hi.
Finally, someone let me out of my cage. Now, the top of me is nothing.
Paul, hold on, gorgeous! And hold on to your hats! Oh, he can fly with the best of them! Trying to punch it down low. Jokic comes out on him. Shot clock at one. He's got a fire. Oh! How about Chris Paul? He is a beauty.
Chris Paul! There was a lot going on there.
It was King Kong was the growling. It's kind of hard to tell. All the growls in the major movies sound the same.
You know what I like about these? You know, people are big into Easter eggs now when they watch movies and they're like, there's an Easter egg from that movie or that TV show inside this movie. If you listen to the Thursday Night Special, it's that big now that you get Easter eggs in there that connect with the pick.
Absolutely.
I don't always know how you do it, but you do it.
Well, I find it all. And... it was really, really hard to hear, but there was the Suns and Four guy going, Suns and Four.
Oh, really?
So it was sprinkled
there?
Throughout.
He was there?
It was really hard to hear.
Oh, that's amazing.
But.
Suns and Four. Dude, that guy, the guy that he beat up is like issuing a rematch now. He wants to fight him.
No way.
I'm taking the Suns and Four guy again. The guy's pants are down to his ankles, man.
Can't
fight like that. What are you talking about? He's wearing like 18 watches. Who wears 18 watches? All right, we're going to catch up with Chris. Yeah, let's do it now. Let's go ahead and talk to him now. We're going to talk to him for about 5 minutes. I just want to get. I think he's in a good location now, and we'll get Chris Dempsey from Altitude TV. He was talking to us about Will Barton. That's the big one. I want to talk to him about Will Barton. I want to talk to him about Michael Porter Jr. And again, that doesn't really change a whole lot of what the Nuggets are going to do, even with Jamal's injury. Chris, we got you back, my man. We were talking about Will Barton. And you kind of left off. You were saying, hey, there's a darn good chance that he doesn't pick up that player option. But decent chance that he signs a multi-year deal back with the Nuggets.
Well, he could. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So, you know, in my experience in the past, you've seen these players almost always opt out of the contract and then sign a multi-year contract. Now, that can be with the Nuggets or it can be with any other team, especially for a player. I believe Will Barton's 30, 31 years old now. So, I mean, you're probably talking about the last, you know, multi-year sizable contract of his career. So I don't think he wants to leave that up to chance, picking up an option, maybe picking up a significant injury, and now you don't have that opportunity when he's just kind of staring at right in the face right now. So what the Nuggets are, and he are going to have to sort out is, you know, he has a number that he wants to get to. And then the Nuggets have a number that they probably don't want to go over, given the fact that they know that they're going to have to pay Michael Porter Jr., you're going to have to repay Nikola Jokic. What are you going to do with Aaron Gordon as well after this year? This coming season will be the last year of his contract as well. So you have decisions to make, and three players in Jamal, Michael Porter Jr., and Nikola Jokic that are going to take by far the biggest chunk of your salary cap. So. You know, this will be an interesting situation this year. It will be. And, but for Will, I mean, he's looking at it the way he probably should, which is, you know, I think he's going to run into a big payday here 3 to 4 years, and then go from there with this contract. So I would expect that he would. Eventually, we'll get the news that he'll opt out.
When you look at the contracts, and I've got the payroll up in front of me, Chris, you know, you hear fans out there, and I'm sure you hear way more than us even, that are like, oh, go make a big move. Get a guy like DeMar DeRozan and all that. Well, you're not going to be able to get a big name for just a year. You're going to have to sign him to a long-term year. And everything you just lined out with Michael Porter Jr. especially, you're not going to be realistically able to have four superstar-type contracts on a team.
No, because, I mean, you're talking about with MPJ, that'll be three max contracts.
Yeah, right.
He's going to get a max, you know. And so, I mean, that's, you know, that ship has sailed in terms of, I mean, there's going to be little to no negotiation there. That number is going to come in at whatever the max contract number is for whenever that contract will start. So, yeah, you can't, I mean, I don't think there's a team in the league with four max contracts. I mean, you just can't do it.
Hmm.
So, financially, and then expect to fill out the rest of your roster in any kind of significant way. So, I mean, the closest would probably be the Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and James Harden's contracts all being really big-time contracts. And then you see what they had to do around that. And that is, you know, Blake Griffin's on the veterans minimum. A lot of one-year and two-year deals around that. Rookie contracts as well. Except for Joe Harris. So, yeah, so they are the closest team to that. So, you know, Joe Harris signed a big deal as well, but it's not a max. So, you know, when you have three or four players taking up that big a chunk of your salary, you can't do much of anything around that. The Nuggets, I don't think, want to be in that scenario. One of the things that they really do value is the quality of the depth of their roster. And to be able to hold on to that, you're going to be able to have a fairly significant sum of money to be able to pay the reserve players.
We're talking to Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, got a couple of minutes left. I wanted to just get your thoughts on Aaron Gordon. You mentioned it when we got you back on. He's got a big year coming up, too, a contract-type year. I mean, first dozen games or so, maybe more than that, quite a bit more than that, especially with Murray, you're thinking, holy cow, this group, it's perfect. This is a match made in heaven. And Gordon still had his moments, but in the playoffs, when the Nuggets really needed him to be that guy, especially against Phoenix, he kind of disappeared. What do you think of the future for Gordon? Do you think that's one of those things where, okay, he had a bad run, but this guy has a lot still to give the Nuggets?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is still, you know, an adjustment period. I think for him, you know, the fact that he was able to play, almost 30 games with the Nuggets is a big deal. So he'll have that experience with the team that he can carry into the summer in terms of what he knows he needs to do to improve his game. And then he'll come back with the ability to hit the ground running with this basketball team. He doesn't have to learn the system because he'll pretty much know it. He doesn't have to necessarily learn his teammates because he will have played with the majority. Actually, he played with all of them. Jamal Murray went down, but he did play with those guys for a period of time. So he understands what that looks like, both with and without Jamal Murray. I think he'll be a lot more comfortable when he comes back next season. Now, having said that, I mean, you know, obviously offensively, there are going to be some things that he needs to improve upon. He knows that. We all saw that in the playoffs. But defensively, he was definitely a significant piece for the Nuggets. And I think they're going to look forward to having him back, certainly on the defensive end, with some improvements that he can make to enhance his game offensively.
Yeah, it's all going to be interesting, man. Chris, appreciate you getting back with us. There's a lot to unpack. But, hey, we got all summer to get through that stuff. So always appreciate you, man. And we'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
All right, man. We'll talk to you.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV, great guy, working it out for us. 44 minutes after the hour. Colfax, I don't have a lot of time here. Here's what I'm looking at. I've got a pair of PR. We gave Extreme Bulls away already, but I do have another pair. I've got PRCA Extreme Bulls, a pair of tickets. I found this. I didn't think we had any more of these. I have another pair of Three Doors Down tickets. Yeah, I got another pair of Three Doors Down tickets to give away. And so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go. We're just going to light up the phone lines for a little while. Let's go caller number six. You're going to get a pair of PRCA Extreme Bulls tonight. So caller number six on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310 or toll free 877-353-1310. You got a pair of Bull tickets coming your way. Caller six. And then what I'm going to do is let's go caller 13. Gets a pair, or do you want to just do it in the second segment? Just keep loading it up. You give the you give the Bulls tickets away, and then these Three Doors Down tickets are for Saturday. So just keep calling. You want to do a number on that?
13, lucky 13.
Caller
13, great.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
So caller 6 gets the bull riding or the bull riding tickets, and caller 13 gets Three Doors Down. 353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. We're giving stuff away. Thanks again to Quality Well and Pump for making it happen. 46 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
It's a party. Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party. Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, this is cool. Adam Schefter tweeted out, NFL approved alternate helmets today for teams wearing throwback uniforms starting in 2022, per league sources. This opens the door for teams like the defending world champion Bucks to wear the old white helmets with the orange swashbuckling Buccaneer as early as 2022. So I'm going through all the old retro logos. And obviously, you know, you've got the Denver Broncos one with the D and the horse coming out, and I used to not like that as a kid. I used to hate it. I just didn't like it. When they got their new logo in, what, 96 or whatever? It was so cool. It was the best thing ever as a kid. I mean, I'm going out and getting memorabilia as much as I possibly can, or my parents can, with that new Bronco head on everything. And so that was cool. But, man, I don't know what it is. Maybe the older I get, whatever. I love the old school. The old school logo. And a lot of these old school logos, man. Looking at that one. How about the Houston? How about the Titans, of course, but they were the Houston Oilers and then the Tennessee Oilers or whatever. I mean, that was pretty cool. The Eagles had the old school, the old lime green with the wings coming out there. That was sweet. The Raiders hasn't changed that much. They have the Raider with the swords in the back of his head or behind his head, and he's got the eye patch. But in the old school one, he's got like a leather helmet on. In the new school, he's got more of a modern helmet. So that's kind of neat. The Browns. I saw somebody joke on Twitter and put the Browns helmet with the Browns helmet on as the logo on the side. So those are good. How about the Chargers? The Chargers old school colors. You know, they were like that navy blue, and their helmet was that navy blue, and they had the they don't like the sky blue stuff. I'm not big into that. That'd be cool, man, seeing some of these retro ones come back out in style. And get the Broncos, though. Would you rather the Broncos go back to that?
Yeah, why not?
You would say scrap.
No, I wouldn't.
No?
Actually, no. I love that old one, though. I do too,
man. That's weird that I never really used to, but I'm looking at it, pictures now. And the uniform, just that orange and blue. That orange and blue just popped.
It's weird. I remember when they made the change, too. I was like 4 or 5 years old, and I remember being so excited.
It was like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Well, I like their orange now, too. Like, when Elway first came here, you know, he made Sunday's orange out day, which I still think they should do. But I like that orange that they wear. I mean, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some. You know, the Patriots have the old Patriot snapping a football. I think that, yeah, the swashbuckling. Do you remember the swashbuckling Buccaneer, though? He had he's like the... I don't know. Every time I look at him, I always think of Robin Hood Men in Tights. I don't know why. Just he's got the pirate hat, you know, but it's like
folded up top.
And he's got a knife in his mouth, and he's like, ha, 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 ha. He's got the feather coming out, man. Like, that's pretty cool. I like that. I actually have some John Lynch football cards because I think he was on the team early. And they still hadn't made the change yet. So I still have a few John Lynch football cards. How about the Seattle Seahawks? Hasn't changed a whole heck of a lot, but that's cool, man. I love this. I like retro. You know, I think that's cool going back to it. Is there one that's the Cowboys had the white helmet and the blue star. The Rams hasn't changed a whole heck of a lot, has it? I don't think so. Like go back and look at the Jaguars, like their first announcement, and then they changed it later. They changed it, but like, look at the Rams logo. I'm not into that new look. The Rams logo now is weird looking. Yeah. The Dolphins, they're that dolphin, that cute little dolphin with the helmet on, and he's like jumping out into the sun. It's just like so fun. But the Rams were certainly better off with the actual ram horn design on the side of the helmet. No question about it. But yeah, dolphins, that's crazy.
That's funny.
I think it's changed so much over the years, the dolphin has, but that helmet looks so goofy on the dolphin, man. It's like, what were these people thinking? Now it's cool. Now I want to go back and look at it. So anyway, as soon as 2022, that'll be kind of a cool thing there. All right, I like the Suns tonight. They get Chris Paul back. He's cleared. It's got to be do or die for the Clippers, right? I mean, are the Suns going to sweep the Clippers? And will that make you feel much better about the Nuggets being swept by the Suns? That'll do it for us. Enjoy the Greeley Stampede. We are live and on location at Rule 105, formerly Broken Plow Brewery, tomorrow. Hooligans, come out. Say hi to us. It's a wonderful local establishment. Let's get out and about and help these businesses thrive. Good night, Northern Colorado.